And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Parmack, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 134 for November 12th, 2015. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like NFL Easy Cock, The Spanish Announce Cock, and All Cock Inside. Welcome to Old Cock at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related cock. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before I get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. Oldschoolmovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. You want to get in touch with me? Don't be shy. Stick out your cock.
Cock talk.
Oldschoolmovies2 at gmail.com.
The cock.
Got interrupted by Cruz there. And oldmovies.net on Twitter, hashtag OSATM. Our panelist this week, Mr. Heavyset.
Hey, Charlie, calm down, Charlie.
No, that's not it.
Wrong country.
There's a need for a rescue mission. When the world is threatened, when the world needs help, it calls on America. So I know who's asked to kick.
Yep.
Hey.
Quit being a dick.
We've got Kembo Trek.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
Howdy.
We've got Will.
Cock talk.
Thanks for having us. You want to say hello?
Hi, I'm Gallifrey.
Oh, Gallifrey's on.
Yeah.
Do I have a Gallifrey theme? Yeah. And the bebé is on.
Who told you can eat my cookies?
That's Gallifrey's theme. And we've got Phil.
You son of a bitch.
Hey.
The most lackluster intro in the history of the show.
I wasn't expecting that theme.
There you go. Okay, we're here to talk some Terminator 2. And we're going to start off just by playing the trailer, break down the movie itself a little bit, talk about our favorite clips, talk about some Arnold, talk about the fact that it's pretty much one of the greatest movies of all time, in my opinion. But yeah, let's just start off straight with the trailer, and we'll break it down.
Same make.
These were taken at the West Highland Police Station, 1984. You were there.
Same model.
These were taken today.
You have to let me see my son. He's in great danger.
New mission. Once, he was programmed to destroy the future.
You don't know what it's like to try to kill one of these things.
Now, his mission...
Get down!
...is to protect it.
Mom!
Come with me if you want to live.
You're really real.
His loyalty is to a child.
Who sent you?
You did. 35 years from now.
And his enemy.
He's a Terminator like you, right?
Not like me.
Is the deadliest machine ever built.
Can it be destroyed?
Unknown.
This time, there are two. Terminator 2.
You just can't go around killing people.
Why?
If you thought you had seen it all... again.
Stay down!
Go! Now!
We gotta stick together!
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Terminator 2, Judgment Day. This time, he's back. For good.
Trust me.
Terminator 2 Judgment Day, as referred to simply as Terminator 2 or T2, is a 1991 American science fiction action film co-written, produced, and directed by James Cameron. The film stars Arnold Schwarzenegger, Linda Hamilton, Robert Patrick, and Edward Furlong in the sequel to the 1984 film The Terminator, the second installment in the Terminator franchise. Terminator 2 follows Sarah Connor, Linda Hamilton, and her teenage son, John Connor, played by Edward Furlong, as they are pursued by new, more advanced Terminator, the liquid metal shape-shifting T-1000. Sent back in time to kill John Connor and prevent him from becoming the leader of the human resistance. A second, less advanced Terminator, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, is also sent back in time to protect him. Guys, first off, is this the first time that Arnold was turned, or not even just Arnold, but an antagonist in a movie turned into a protagonist?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I can't think of anything offhand.
Yeah, good question.
I think it's the only one. It's the first one for sure, but it's one of the only ones.
I don't know how much you want to count it, but the only thing that I can think of is the end of, and granted, it doesn't go into another film, but if they were to go that way, Austin Powers with Dr. Evil.
That's fucking loose, dude.
Well, but what they seemed like they were building for, if they ever do a 4, was Dr. Evil actually, like, because they find out that they're brothers and everything, it's not like 4, it was going to be all a Scott. But that's,
what about, that's the closest
I could think of. Sorry.
What about Harvey Dent in, I know it's after, but... Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises. Or no, is it Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises? Yeah.
What about Magneto?
Well, he was always a bad guy. He was conveniently good for a bit.
Well, Magneto is a bad guy, but he's also not necessarily like the most evilest person in the world.
But he's the protagonist of X-Men First Class, no?
Yeah.
It's tough. I think he's the only one that I know of anyways. Like, clearly went from super bad, murdering everybody, to super good.
But technically, it's not the same guy, right?
Yeah, well...
Because that robot's dead.
Well, yeah, but it... okay, I see what you mean. But no, but like, in terms of film itself, like, the actor played the same
role. Yeah, like, franchise. What was a bad guy in the first one is now a good guy. You're right. No, that doesn't happen too often. It's true.
One of the first scenes, the bar scene, is like my favorite scene. I fucking love this. I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
It had been
forever. No thoughts.
It had been forever since I had seen it, but after the recent commercials for WWE 2K16, like, that's all I could think of how well they, especially like WWE, remade that particular scene. And every time I'd see a character, I'd be like, all right, that was supposed to be, that's what they used for Eva Marie, that's what they used for Dean Ambrose and all that kind of stuff. But it is very, I think of all the scenes that are like really memorable to people, like even me, like I hadn't watched it since I was fucking a little kid. I want to say like that scene's the most memorable and the ending.
Yeah. And again, I know last week we did a sequel, but this, one of the few sequels that I remember that are better than the original.
Yeah, I agree. I fully agree. This one is, the people say the Dark Knight as well would be better, but whatever. But this is definitely one of the ones that I feel is far superior.
Let's talk about Linda Hamilton, one of the first, to me, in my watching movies when I was a kid. It seems like it's, one of the first female badasses. I mean, especially the difference in the roles, where she starts off as like a waitress that's a fucking jobber character, to like a fucking legit badass, like shooting guns and fucking, like, she's got guns of her own, like... One of the strongest female characters in my recent memory, especially like starting off watching films.
Well, it's not only that, it's the fact that she got like super jacked up for the movie.
Yeah.
Like she did hardcore training and you can see it because the first one she was kind of like, girly and all that. And this, she's like a complete hard ass and Linda Hamilton just played it perfectly.
Try to think of a female even today. That did that. Like, I don't know. I mean, back in the day, we're talking 20, 25 years ago, man, that a woman would go to that length in a role and do such a different character.
But no, there was an alien. The whole point is that Ripley in the beginning is not that kind of character. In the second one, she's this complete badass. So I would say that at the same time, there were two characters doing the same thing.
Yeah, and both movies were directed by James Cameron.
Well, that doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Right? Seems to be a trend going on there.
Okay, let's talk about the chemistry between the character John Connor and the second Terminator, I guess. Would you call him the second T-800?
Well, no, it's fine. We're just the T-800. You know, one thing I find interesting is that everybody says that he's a very annoying kid. I rewatched it recently, and he's not. he's as annoying as any other kid, but he's not too overly annoying. He's just, I guess you'd say, a typical cartoon character teenager, but he didn't annoy me at all.
He's annoying at the beginning of the movie because he's a brat and thinks that his mom is completely nuts.
Oh, but by the way, the tracks are nice, yeah.
Because he's hacking all these terminals, he's acting all like, I know everything, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, mom, you're crazy, but this Terminator shows up, and then finally he realizes, like, no, she's not crazy, and he actually starts to grow up.
Which version did you watch? Because I realized there's some deleted scenes I had not noticed before.
I think maybe I watched all of them.
Yeah, because there's, okay, in when they're in the desert, and talking about the interaction between the kid and the Terminator,
mm-hmm.
are they talking under the car as they're fixing it? Because I don't remember that scene when I watched it previously.
Ooh, well, the one I saw on Netflix, they were under the car, yeah.
They were, okay, and he talks about, like, because that's where actually they discussed how the sci-fi works, right? How the time travel works, how that is not born yet, now how John Connor accepts all that stuff. Because I had not seen that before.
Do you find that, because there were times where they'd sit down and explain the plot a bit, do you find that soured the movie at all, that they had to sit there and actually spend time explaining some of the plot lines? Or
I enjoy
it.
I enjoy it because you notice that the filmmakers seem to know what they're doing, or at least care for the audience to know. Because, I mean, there's times when, especially like, let's say a Michael Bay movie, where the plot is inconsequential. Nobody cares. It's like a throwaway line.
In this, explosions.
In this one, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of action, but we do care for the audience. We want the audience to know that there's a point behind all this, that there's actually a bigger story. I find that very interesting.
So, what do you guys think of Edward Furlong? Did you find he was good as like a younger John Connor, a rebel?
Thanks.
Did you guys find him like to be a little annoying? Or I mean, I thought he did a great job.
I love the performance. Like his growth as a character is sort of amazing for a kid that age.
I don't remember him in anything else, really.
Well, because he wasn't in much else. He didn't do too well with his...
Was he in American History X or something?
He was. He was also in The Crow. He was in The Crow 3, I think, where he plays The Crow. Something like that. Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. What was I going to say? There is one scene, though, that does tick me off. It's when he wants to, like, see what the Terminator can do. So he, like, pretends to be in danger, and these two guys come to his rescue. And then he starts, like, beating them up. Like, he wants them to get beaten up. I find that kind of mean-spirited of him.
Well, he didn't know that the Terminator would go that far.
To
his defense.
Yeah, okay, sure. But they were, like, nice guys.
But it sets up the scene where it's like, stop killing. Don't kill anymore.
Yes, you're right.
Killing is bad.
Stop fucking shooting people.
Like, I'm just gonna,
that was great.
Okay, I'll just shoot them in the knees then. Okay, fine.
That kind of leads to the comedic part of it,
mm-hmm.
where you know you take such a serious movie on the base of it, and the chemistry between the two, and just the Terminator with his dry humor. I thought there were a lot of funny scenes.
There was something I find interesting. It's how, and this I only see in movies, how there's this trope, and this one is the biggest culprit for it. Where the key, if you're in a car and you don't have the keys, don't worry. Just like look under like the place where you have like your mirror, and the keys will just suddenly fall perfectly. And it's like when he first shows Terminator, he's like, "You dummy, look, that's how like it works." Like he doesn't say it, but if he has expressions going like, obviously the keys are there. So when the Terminator actually goes for it, the keys are indeed there. But that doesn't happen real. I don't think anybody puts their car keys there when they're parked.
Maybe it's like an American thing, heavy.
Is it?
Like if you're in a kind of the backwoods, you don't figure anybody's gonna steal your car. Just throw them on the top. Have you ever like left your keys, where the vanity mirror is there? Like,
hell no.
It's convenient for the movie, yeah. So are you gonna sit there watching him hotwire a car for 3 minutes, or like are the keys gonna pop out?
Oh, but the joke is that this becomes like a thing saying that Terminator has to learn that the human race does. You understand? Because it becomes a plot point later on where he realizes, oh well, I don't have the keys. Oh wait a second, since this is a car and we're in the human world, I can just go here and get it. That's what I meant.
Yeah, I get you. I mean, it was highly regarded, but there are certain things with the story, particularly the action sequences. If you pay attention, clearly it's a stuntman doing a lot of Arnold's scenes.
I didn't know that, but can I tell you something awesome? That, like you say, your favorite scene is the beginning. I love the car chase. And I didn't know until I watched it now, but the truck that Robert Patrick, who by the way is a terrible driver, because all he does is he goes from like side to side with his giant truck. That truck is the same. That's the same truck front that is modeled after Optimus Prime in the original Transformers cartoon. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So like, this is nerdy, but the evil version of Optimus Prime is a black Optimus Prime, this Nemesis Prime, and he's driving a black Optimus truck, and he's evil. So that's a fun little thing there too. Total coincidence.
But yeah, no, now that you mention it, the bobbing from side to side, yeah, I mean.
Oh, yeah, that's completely ridiculous. Like, come on, the guy should know how to drive. I don't know, he's an intelligent machine. It's
yeah, but
really
when he was
weird.
On his bike and stuff, or when he was driving the cop car, he wasn't driving like a
yeah,
retard,
you're right, he wasn't. So what's the point of doing it like that? Like, he's just losing
speed. Was he trying to crush John Connor on the bike or something? I don't remember.
But he wasn't close enough.
Okay, he was just swerving around like an idiot.
He was just swerving around like an idiot. That's
and he's warming the tires up. I don't know. Like,
but like, he's also destroying his own truck in the process. I don't know. It's a weird scene. An arson I love a lot, I adore, it's when, but you can only watch this the first time, if you watch the first film, you can only feel this the first time. It's when John Connor's running from the Terminator, and it's at the arcade, and there's another Terminator in front of him, and then you're wondering, like, wait a second, but, like, is he the good guy, is he the bad guy, and then just Arnold Schwarzenegger takes out, like, these, it's beautiful, he has his gun hidden, like, this.
With the flowers?
The flowers.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's great.
It's awesome. He just cocks it one hand, and shoots.
But it's just this giant fucking 6-foot guy in a jacket with sunglasses, like, clearly foreign. Walking around with a giant box of flowers, like, that doesn't look suspicious at all.
What's great is that, so, for people that watched it for the first time, it's really well done by James Cameron. In that scene, you're not supposed to know the Terminator is a good guy yet. And that's the scene where you realize, oh my god, he's actually a good guy. He didn't shoot John Connor, he's shooting the other guy. And that's I think, is a phenomenal scene, a really cool, and I wish for my daughter that she doesn't know that he's a good guy in the second one. And we watched the first one first, and then she gets that notion of everybody in the theater felt that day. That would be cool.
Let's talk about Patrick and Schwarzenegger at this point. Patrick is almost like one of the greatest villains, man. And I know a lot of it was effects, but I thought he played it really well.
Not much. You'd be surprised. If I guess effects, yeah. But you, when you meant effect, you meant not CG, right? Or did you mean CG?
Well, just like the knives and turning into liquid and all that stuff.
You know, there's actually, if you look carefully, it's actually very minimal. There's not a lot. Most of it is practical. Like, whenever he gets blown up, or he has, like, that great shot where he's got, like, a hole in his eye, and it's just this big gap. That's all practical effects.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really impressive. And it's, like, puppeteering. So it's not, there's minimal CGI. I don't know. I could look up online, but there is, just like Jurassic Park, there's actually just like maybe 4 to 10 minutes CGI in the entire thing. It's
yeah, I mean, I like the upgrades, you know, like it was just enough that he had that advantage on Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
The funny thing, I love how they hide his Schwarzenegger's accent. You're like, that's what a cyborg's supposed to sound like. A cyborg is supposed to have like an Austrian-esque kind of robotic sound to it, and that's how in that universe how robots are supposed to sound. So they
but
hide
Ron the had the voice, but does
no that's it
okay
because imagine he's on the phone pretending to be the mother and he's like, oh, John Connor, where are you, you know, like obviously they're gonna know it's not the mother, you know.
By the way, do you know who plays the mother? The other mother, it's the one who plays Vasquez in Aliens. The second one, by the same director. So it's her. She's the
lead. But I mean, you see a lot of directors, they just go to the well.
It's
like
cool.
DiCaprio.
No, it's very, very true. And by the way, she's also in Titanic as well. That's from James Cameron as well. But
well,
I just meant to say it's just fun stuff. So, yes.
Well, what did you guys think of Patrick in terms of the main antagonist?
Well, I remember last week you mentioned where you thought Biff was one of the top five villains of all time, where I would definitely put Patrick as T-1000 is one of the top villains of all time.
Yeah, me too.
Like,
because he's relentless, right?
Yeah, that's it. And it's like, going to Robert Patrick, when I see him, I see T-1000. I don't see anything else. And I know he's been in some other stuff, but like Will said, he's relentless. And it's that fact that he's almost invulnerable. Obviously, he's not, but it's close to that. And he's ruthless, where it's such a good villain. And, you know, you're seeing whatever Schwarzenegger and whatever Sarah Connor do, like, they can't stop him. So it's that kind of just that relentlessness of it that makes him really great. And obviously, you know, a guy that can make like metal swords out of nothing, and that's going to be wicked no matter how it comes out.
My question is, so we're talking about being relentless, but so was Schwarzenegger in the first one. So I'm wondering this. Is Robert Patrick a better villain than Schwarzenegger in the first one? And if so, why?
Oh, that's a good question.
I would guess so, because by the measure of, like, well, it took that much effort to take down the first Terminator in the first one.
Yeah.
And then this guy shows up and he's like, he's not, Robert Patrick's not a big guy, like, compared to Arnold. But yet, like, the first scene, you see them, like, going through walls and stuff like that. It's like, holy crap, this guy can actually measure up.
He can destroy
him. Yeah. And so by that measurement, it's like, yeah, he's a much scarier villain than the first Terminator.
I mean, I think they're good in their own ways. Because of the upgrades, you know, the humans themselves, if they took on T-1000, it'd be over. So the fact that, you know, you're going to need a Terminator and a bunch of humans to take out one Terminator instead of just humans doing it, I think just in terms of power, I would respect the T-1000.
You just have to fight next to a volcano all the time. Because that's the only thing that could...
That or liquid nitrogen in a volcano.
Well, no, even liquid nitrogen, they could reform afterwards. They would have to literally melt in the volcano.
Yeah, well, you could get them liquid nitrogen and then take the pieces and throw it in a volcano. Take
them to, like, T-1000 camps and destroy them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's terrible.
But at that point, they're going to get smart enough and be like, okay, I'm not going anywhere near a volcano.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about Silberman, Dr. Silberman. Who plays the doctor in both movies, if you noticed.
In all three movies, actually.
He's also in the third one. He's an old man.
I love his interactions with Linda Hamilton. I thought the acting-wise, the back and forth, her trying to pretend to be normal, and then he's like, I'm not believing your bullshit, and then her fucking going ape shit on him. Like, I just love the intensity of those scenes.
Me too. I adored him, especially like with the pen, right? That's great stuff. It's good stuff. And I love his face when he realized that, like, it's all true what she's been saying.
Okay, let's talk about the soundtrack, because it was fucking awesome. I mean, the main theme itself resonates with me today. The second I hear it, like, da-na, 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 da-na. And then when I heard it, you know, watching the latest Terminator got me back into it too again.
But was it different than the first movie?
I don't think so.
The score, like the actual notes are the same, but it's better produced in the second one. Because the first one was like, 1984? So it all had this cheapo, like, Casio synth sound going. And this one sounds... But the second one had this epic, like, it sounded more orchestral and bigger. It had more movements to it.
You got Bad to the Bone at the beginning of this, when he went into the bar scene. I think there was a Guns N' Roses track. I'm trying to remember which one it was. The actual theme itself, I absolutely loved the soundtrack. I thought it really enhanced the movie.
Could I talk about them in Mexico?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, what I found funny is that, like, and this is a trope that we also see in movies, where Linda Hamilton, when she first gets in, they're like, you're supposed to, for the audience and the kid is really wondering what's going on, right? They seem very menacing, they seem a bit hostile. And you realize, it was just a joke, and they're like all friends. And I'm wondering, to whose benefit is that? Why were they pretending to be hostile for, like, that whole 2 minutes? Was it just, like, a bit to, like, entertain the kid? Where, like, Linda Hamilton's like, guys, I'm gonna leave now. But in case I come back, let's pretend to be enemies for like 2 seconds, and then like we know we're good friends, right? Like I don't know. I don't know why they had to be in any way hostile in the beginning of that scene. Well, by the way, though, I do want to. That's awesome stuff. That's really cool world building. I want to know what happened there, because like you assume that happened between the first movie and the second one. They must have seen some shit together. It's fun how the film hints that there was this other life with Linda Hamilton that we didn't see it.
But they don't go in depth on it at all.
Yeah, no, not
just kind of
One thing that really stuck out for me was during the car chase scene, because when I was watching on my laptop with some headphones. And there's no type of background noise whatsoever with, like, the car running or anything. It's just gunfire. The main thing that I don't even think there was any music in the background.
No time for music or effects. We just want guns.
I was thinking, like, man, if this movie was made, like, 10 years later or in the 2000s or whatever, like, I mean, you know, there would be some sort of, like, composed music to go behind it. Kind of like maybe like Hans Zimmer or something like that, or just the effect of nothing, of like just the sound of the car running and going at the speed that it did. There was nothing. And that as I was listening on my headphones, now I was like, wow, that just blew my mind.
Speaking of the gun, what about that shotgun twirl that Arnold
did? I love it. I
fucking love badass.
It's amazing. I does adore it actually work shit. Though?
Yeah, if you saw off a shotgun, he can actually do that. But he mastered it. Like, I don't know how. I don't know how many times he like practiced that move, but like it looks awesome.
Yeah,
that movie sold. Like it sold me on sawed-off shotguns.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though you can't really fire them.
Yeah, only, what's the advantage of a sawed-off shotgun?
Because you can do that fucking Arnold.
It's a fast, it's the only it's reason. A fast reload.
Oh, okay, I see, I see. Well, one thing I wanted to talk to you was about cinematography. The scene that I find insane is her dreams of, like, when the world exploding.
Yeah.
That is top-notch.
It's fucking heavy, that man. It's very heavy.
Same, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, heavy, yeah.
What about me?
What do you guys think about the character Miles Dyson?
Okay, I wanted to talk about this. We said we wouldn't go into too much time travel stuff in the previous movie, and now we're in this one. I'm guessing the same thing. But what I don't get is this. So the reason why the Skynet will exist is because the Terminator came back in the first movie, and that's the technology they're using. So is that yeah. So we're assuming that that's the reason, that's how the film always was. So technically, they always had to go back.
Yeah, it's like a time. Yeah, it's like a time loop type of thing. It's like 12 Monkeys.
But the reason they went back in time was to stop John Connor. But they have to also go back in time in order for machines to exist, right?
Well, isn't that an alternate timeline? I guess then.
That's what I'm wondering.
They tweak it a bit every single time, but it's essentially the same. That stuff has to happen for the same future to exist.
So for the future to exist, machines always have to go back in time and stop John Connor.
Yeah, but they don't know that, so they do.
Okay, that's always, but they don't know that. Okay, yeah. Thanks. Okay.
One of the best scenes, apart from the opening scene for me, was when Sarah goes to attack Dyson and kill him, and you see like at the beginning, you know, she's gung ho and she's like, "Oh, I got to do this to save the future," and you see the vulnerability in the character when she couldn't finish the job.
Well, also, like I think his wife and kids are there.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that doesn't hurt. And yeah, and you see her, you know, go from one extremity to, you see that vulnerable side come out. And even after all she's been through, after she knows what's going to happen, mm-hmm. she's still like a human being. She has feelings like everybody else.
Yeah, because she's a mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Phil was getting at. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's like, the whole, her arc is like, she's trying to be a Terminator. She's trying to be this cold, like, badass killing machine. But in the end, at that moment, she realizes, like, well, I can't. I'm still human. I can't carry, like, I can't finish the job because I have to think about not only, like, his family, but also what about my son? Like, he's right there. He's going to watch me kill someone, like, in cold blood for no reason, for this, like, future that might not even exist. Like,
yeah.
So I find that scene really powerful. It's a really touching scene in a weird movie that keeps on moving forward. Like there's chases and gunfights and all that, and it just freezes at that moment where you're like this tension of mm-hmm. is she really gonna do it? Is she really gonna take that step? But of course not, because there wouldn't be any movie afterwards.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. How about the scene with the T-800 and the SWAT team? Where he's like, yeah, let me take care of him.
Yeah, he doesn't kill anybody. But he doesn't kill anybody.
But yeah, he must have shot about 1,000 kneecaps. But yeah, no, he takes out an entire SWAT team and like handicaps them all, but does not kill them all.
Actually,
yeah,
casual.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Actually, one scene I love, it's when it's the scene where I'm sorry to be going all over the place, but it's when he's on the phone and he wants to figure out if like the kid's parents are dead or not. So, like, it's a phenomenal scene where, like, you just see the backshot, like, you realize through his intelligent mind game of naming the dog. Anyways, he finds out that the parents are dead. So I just love the expression. He goes and pulls the kid and goes, like, your parents are dead. And, like, then it loops back. It's great. It's awesome. And it loops back, and you actually see that, like, that, and by the way, this is all practical effects. The T-1000's arm is just extended, and the husband's head it just went right through his head. As a kid, that terrified me. My parents were like, okay, we're not watching this movie anymore. I think I was maybe 7. They did not let me watch the movie past that point.
Okay, so you didn't see the scene where he ripped his arm off, or his hand off?
No, I guess not.
And you were a kid. Because wouldn't that be more fucking terrifying?
No, I didn't. I stopped at that scene, where like the blade goes through that guy's skull. Yeah, and I watched.
Oh, that was a good way to end the movie. I mean, you're talking about practical effects. Showing the exposed like skeleton was awesome.
Yes,
when he ripped his hand off.
Yes, it was. But you know what? Wait, is this the first time that we see? No, wait.
No, because
in the first one, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yep. No, go ahead.
In the first one, at the end, you see what the Terminator looks like underneath. But in the beginning of the second one, though, you finally see a whole army of these guys. Did you see that in the first one? Like that skeletal Terminator, like in the future where they don't need to wear the skin. Do you see how that looks like in the first movie? Like a whole army of them? I don't think so.
No, they didn't have the budget for it.
Okay,
it was
$6 million or something.
Yeah, because the first one, the only shots of the future, I think it's been a while.
You see
old John Connor.
Yes,
that's the only thing you see.
No. You see threads of a tank going over skulls.
Right.
That's all you see.
You don't see armies of Terminator marching towards the rebels.
But that's awesome. You see that. The movie starts with that, right? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's like starting with saying like, now we have more budget, guys. Here
and that sort of ruined all the sequels because you're like, you're expecting the future to look like that.
Yeah, you're right.
And then they do Salvation and all the other crap movies.
And
it looks nothing like that.
Too bad.
One other scene I thought was kind of funny. It shows like the temper. I don't know if the machine is supposed to have a temper or not. But after T-1000 crashes the truck and the guy goes to see how he is, he doesn't even get the sentence out and he like fucking caps him or whatever. Like, I don't know. I thought that it was almost like he was on tilt and he was pissed off he crashed the car because he wanted to kill the guy. Because there's no reason to kill the guy.
Makes him look more badass.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. And I guess we got to talk about the one-liners as well because it's an Arnold movie.
Oh, this is perfect for it. I think only Commando has...
More
one-liners. Aside from that, though, this one's pretty good.
Mean hasta la vista, baby. Yeah. I'll be back.
Yeah, all of that.
Chill out, dickwad.
Wait.
Chill out, dickwad.
Wait, in this one, he also says, come with me if you want to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this one comes from.
And of course, the ending. I mean, I found it dragged on a bit, but it's emotional.
It's such an emotional scene. Because at that point, he's become the father figure.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, clearly. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, a fucking a robot, a dry murdering fucking robot is turned into the kid's dad almost.
Yeah. Because they start off as like, oh, buddy. And then he like, the Terminator learns how to behave like a human, but John also learns like duty and responsibility and like, well, protecting your family and all that stuff. So
duty.
Yeah, but it I don't know. It's such a powerful scene, and it's like, I know why you cry. It's like, oh, come on,
yeah,
come
know,
on,
man.
Come on, man.
It's almost like you try not to get choked up.
Yeah, man. You're watching this like badass action movies. Like, I'm not crying, man.
Yeah. It's like you're feeling for a fucking robot. Yeah. You know, like it's crazy, man. But that's why it gives you that human attachment to the movie, and that's why I really that's why I think it stood the test of time, not just because of the effects were more practical and it was great, but yeah, everything just clicked. The soundtrack, the actors, the effects, the lighting, the chemistry between the characters, man, it's probably one of the greatest action movies, and you know, 25 years later, man, it still stands up.
Oh, I think it's the greatest action movie. Yeah, I don't think I don't know anything else that could top it, because anything else, like for example, like Commando is overly cheesy, so that doesn't work. Any movie today, like, I don't know, what, Lord of the Rings, would that count? No, that's more fantasy.
But, what would
be a better action movie? The Avengers? I don't know.
But what's interesting is that it's basically, it's a one-on-one movie almost. Like it's not like where the protagonist is taking on like 200 terrorists or something.
No, you're right. It's true.
It's basically just a one-on-one, and obviously, you know, they have the stuff with the cops and all that, but... You know, it's not one of those 80s Van Damme or even Schwarzenegger or whatever movies where they're just mowing down like 80 people without getting touched. So it's kind of interesting that it's such a great action movie when it's basically a one-on-one or a one-on-two when you have Sarah Connor.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've seen that that's come back recently. For example, if you watch one of my friend's favorite films, Captain America and Winter Soldier, there's the Winter Soldier himself is very much a T-1000-like character that is just relentless. And whenever he's versus Captain America, it becomes like, you know, it's going to be a stalemate, but it just has to last for a while and happens three times and they face off. And it's pretty much, they have this battle against each other while the whole world, I guess, outside them is falling apart. So I definitely see how that's been taken today in a grander way. But I don't know, the simplicity of it being a one-on-one amidst everything all still rings true today with today's movies.
All right, go ahead.
Going back to the beginning, do we count the Winter Soldier and Bucky for the good guy in one, bad guy in the other?
No, but I thought you meant bad guy in one, good guy next, so it doesn't really work, right? Yeah. You have to be bad guy first.
Well, if they do more movies, isn't he going to become a good guy?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And also he's going to become Captain America.
Wait. We don't...
Hold on a second.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
By the way, not confirmed.
Possible spoiler.
They've got choices.
They have choices. Oh yeah. Someone asked for too much money. Guess what? Get out of here.
There you go. Well, I pretty much know what the answer is going to be. I give it a 10. Phil, if you had to rate it on 10, would you?
I'd give it a 10.
Without Kebbo.
I would easily give it a 10. It's just everything about the movie just completely 100% works.
Will?
9.9. Because...
What the fuck?
Because this movie has a huge flaw. In the first one, they say that by going in time, it is done. And they can't... A Turner can never come back in time. And this movie does go against that.
How does the Terminator not... What? I don't understand.
No. In the first movie, when Kyle Reese talks to the cops,
yeah,
he says that they went back in time. However, he closed it behind them so that in the time stream, it's done. You can no longer use the time stream as a way to come back in the past or whatever.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. It's one of those things you kind of just have to
So ignore. The movie itself should not exist, Terminator 2. Obviously,
the other rule of Terminator, like time travel, is that in the first one, they had to have... human skin or something. It had to have some human, like some living component. T-1000 doesn't have any of that.
No, you're right. So he doesn't. So they don't follow the actual. Wait, very curious. Can he imitate skin or is he actually metal? Like, if you were to touch the T-1000, would you be touching metal or would you be touching skin?
It's liquid metal. It's explained. There's a whole scene in the movie that explains what it.
No, I get that. No. Okay. It can be a bomb, but he can't. Can he imitate skin?
I guess it would feel cold, but it imitates
clothes. Yeah. Like you see his clothes, exactly. Right?
It would move around because it's liquid, but it wouldn't feel warm or whatever.
Anyways, but yeah, so that's my 9.9.
Because there's no scene where he physically touched or interacted with anybody.
Well, besides killing them with like knives and stuff.
Yeah.
Besides stabbing him in the face.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, guys, wait. Before we move on, did you guys see he has an appearance in Wayne's World? Did you know that?
Yeah.
You also had a movie with John Cena.
It's also in Last Action Hero.
I meant the actual character of the T-1000.
Oh, okay.
Is he in Last Action Hero as the T-1000?
As they go to, like, they walk towards the police station, he walks out.
So I was like, yeah, but in Wayne's World, he actually, Mike Myers gets stopped by a cop. And the cop, like, shows a picture of John Connor. Have you seen this boy? It's the T-1000. He just, like, screams, and he runs away. So, anyways, fun stuff that he keeps popping up.
And another fun stuff in the John Cena movie, forget which one it was.
The Marine.
The Marine, where he's in the back seat or whatever. He's like, what is this guy, the Terminator? And then he kind of looks. It was cheesy as hell, but I love the scene.
Is it a good film? Just curious.
Everything blows up. His whatever Chevrolet cop car has taken the most gunshots I've ever seen a car take. It was probably at least in a couple of thousands, and it was still running.
But is it like amazing? Is it like Walking Tall, fun kind of movie? Or
it's Walking Tall with about 1,000 explosions.
I love Walking Tall.
Every building he leaves blows up.
And Robert Patrick is the main villain, right?
Yeah, okay. Car blows up, gas station blows up. They go to some like. Remote house with a generator that blows up. I think the police station blows up. Like just every fucking place he leaves has to be dead.
Wait. We're talking about villain turned hero in Thor 1 and Thor 2. In Thor 2, Loki takes on.
No, but wasn't he still a dick?
Still
though?
A dick.
Like,
still a
it's same.
Dick.
It's the same thing with Magneto. He just switches sides. Whatever.
He's a tweener. He's a tweener.
Okay. But by the way, we make those jokes, but those end up being the most like memorable characters of the entire of that whole universe.
Heavy, what would you give it on 10?
I give it a T2 out of 10. I give it a 9. It was good sitting down and watching after like not remembering barely anything about it. And I think my only problem was I felt like it was too long. But
really?
I don't know. I mean, that just from when I was watching it. Like, okay. I don't know. I mean, what's the runtime on? I can't even remember.
It's over 2.
It's 2.5, I think.
Yeah.
That could be it. If it was maybe a little bit closer to 2, it wouldn't have seemed as long. But still good nonetheless. Definitely holds up when it comes to when we talk about sequels. So, yeah. So what time-traveling sequel will we be doing next? Teenage Mutant Turtles?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, we might be doing another sequel. Actually,
it's got to be a time-traveling sequel. We got to keep this up.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna give the panel an option of 2 movies to watch. So it's one or the other, and I'm completely out of it. I'm only the tiebreaker if necessary, but I'll let you guys decide out of the 2 movies. We'll have that coming up at the end of the show. So yeah, go see Terminator 2. Well, you're not going to go see it, I guess, unless
it's a film
festival or something.
Yeah,
watch it. Download it. Netflix. It's on Netflix.
Wait, really? On Canadian?
Yeah, it's on Canadian and American. Check it. If you haven't seen it, man, especially T2, maybe even watch the first one, too. It's not necessary, though. But
forget the sequels. Forget all the sequels.
Yeah, fuck. Well, I like the last one, though. It really plays too hard on the first and second one.
Agreed.
But how is that a bad thing? Those are good movies.
I don't know. I like
it. It's not trying to do its own thing. It's like, remember these awesome scenes? It's like The Simpsons now. It's like, hey, remember this awesome scene from this earlier movie? We did it again. Aren't we great?
Oops, they did it. Okay. So check out at least the first two. Okay, let's get in the feedback, close the show, and we'll select our homework for next week. Feedback coming up.
You never go ass to mouth.
You've never gone ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
I've never gone ass to mouth.
This comes from Double A. Did Canada blow up? Where is old school at the movies? Hashtag OSATM. We are back. We apologize for the delay. Scheduling issues. I got sick and work and blah, blah, blah. But we are back.
What?
And better than
I love how the Canada blow up. It's like, well, why? The Stephen Harper lost election. He's like, well, if I can't have exactly. It, nobody can blow up.
And it's not even on American news.
What he's trying to say is, blame Canada, blame Canada. Who was it in, we were talking about in, I don't know, it was GroupMe or Twitter, where someone actually said what is it going to be like a cooking show now? And I'm like, well, you're kind of not too far off how we started last week's show.
Yeah, exactly. Seriously, talking about fucking chips of the world. This comes from Mob Jockey, hashtag OICATM. With your return, has there been a movie franchise take a big break? Hold on. With your return, has there ever been a movie franchise take a big break? Okay, he wrote it wrong. Has there ever been a movie franchise that took a big break between sequels, multi-years, and has not been a bust?
Has not been a bust.
Has not been a bust.
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park.
Jinx.
That's a good one. Jurassic Park would be the main one. Yeah, pretty much.
Terminator did okay.
How did?
But it's not. Was that really a long time in between?
Yeah.
Salvation? Not really. It's as long as.
What about Mission Impossible?
Yeah. That was steady. Isn't Mission Impossible steady?
It hasn't changed.
Yeah, every 5 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Because Spider-Man and Batman was 5 years.
By the way, I would assume The Incredibles 2. It didn't come out yet, but when it does, pretty certain it'll be just as good as the first.
Toy Story.
But Toy Story was not, it was steady too, I think. No?
One and two were fairly close together, but there's just that big gap between two and three. So they could actually allow Andy to age and whatnot.
What about Rambo?
You know what? That's a good one. Because Rambo 4 is very... Rocky. Even better.
I like the Rocky 6. Because
Rocky 6 is actually better than Rocky 5 for sure. And it's as good as any other.
Oh, yeah. Rocky 5 never had.
5 is such a piece of garbage. But yeah, Rocky 6 is like a really good film. So I would say the Rocky franchise is good. Rambo... what happened though is that those movies didn't continue, unless if you count the Creed sequel as a continuation of Rocky. Who knows?
I don't know the financial numbers for some of them, but what about Star Wars?
That's going to be a big one. That's a good gap.
But
Star Trek.
Do we count that? Is Star Trek?
Was it 10 years? Was it 10 years?
Between the Next Generation?
Nemesis. Nemesis and Star Trek.
It wasn't that long.
It was 10.
But is Star Trek a sequel?
It's part of the same franchise.
The reboot.
It's a reboot. It's not true. Kevbo, it's not. It is a sequel.
They use the timeline.
Yeah, and it's the same timeline.
But it's not canon.
No, it is. It is canon. It's canon to Spock.
It's not canon.
Right?
It's not the same as the Spock.
It is.
It's a different space.
If you look at Spock's life.
It's a different universe, Demil. Not the same.
This comes from Mop. I guess I'm talking about our chef show. The wife loves Diet Cherry Coke. There you go. Cherry Coke, winner.
Is Diet Cherry Coke?
Diet, of course, man.
Where?
Here's the thing about the States. If we have a brand of pop or soda, whatever you want to call it, a carbonated beverage, there's probably a diet version.
Okay, wait. So is there a Diet Vanilla Coke?
Hell yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Is there a zero version?
Is there a zero version? By the way, how do you like Coke? I actually think Coke Zero is not bad. I think it's mission accomplished for them.
I like it better than Diet Coke.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I think they kind of accomplished what they were going for, so it's not bad. But yeah,
I want cherry Coke, man. I want somebody send me cherry Coke, damn it.
I want vanilla Coke.
They used to have them at Costco. I don't know what happened.
The vanilla Coke or cherry Coke?
Cherry Coke.
Okay, wait. Have you said, is there still vanilla Coke in the States right now?
Since I don't really drink pop anymore. Hmm. Yeah, I don't pay attention to it. Okay. The only one I really drink, if there's not anything big going on, like I'll pay attention to certain stuff, but I always drink Coke around Christmas time in glass bottles. But that's
is Pepsi Blue still around? Or
I wish Pepsi Blue was around. I don't really like Pepsi, but that was so good.
What about Pepsi Crystal?
Hell no. I wish Josta was still around. Love Josta. It came out the same time as Surge for Pepsi, and
I don't know what that is. So sorry.
Yeah, Josta. Just Google it.
Okay.
Because Surge came out, it kind of got overshadowed. It's like if you look at get this back to movies. If you look at the movie UHF. I love Weird Al. I like that movie. But you look at some of the like movies that it came out against. Yeah, it's gonna look like it's gonna be the reason why it did so bad at the box office. I want to say Back to the Future was one of the movies it did go up against. I'm not 100% sure.
This comes from Mop. Gatorade is way better than Powerade, Kev.
Fuck off.
I don't think so. I think they're both fine. I don't see a difference between the two.
I love Powerade.
Powerade's better.
Yeah, I drink Powerade Zero all the time because it's cheap.
Yeah.
And
no calories.
Yeah, no calories whatsoever. Because I realized that when I was on the road, truck driving, because I could visually, I don't do that anymore. I drive, but not over the road. I would drink a lot of calories and I realized, like, okay, I can buy this bottle of Powerade Zero for, if I actually go to the right places, like, under $1, and there's a lot more. But, yeah, we're getting off topic.
You should see, I know, Kev with his fucking, his stash, it's like, it's in case of a nuclear blast or something. He's got, like, 40 king fucking bottles of Powerade in his fucking storage. Mop, yeah, go ahead. I know it's 80 cents. Mop, continuing with the food tweets. Hashtag OSATM. Do you have bacon mac and cheese chips?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, that was Delay's flavor that won last year.
No, we don't.
Flavors that one in the save me a flavor or do us a flavor.
Yeah, the one where you get 50 grand or whatever.
Yeah, and what was it? It went up. I know one of the ones it went up against that I really liked. Actually, no, that was the year before. The year before, it didn't win, but chicken and waffles.
Oh, interesting. Well, they have that here. I think it's broken down by country and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like each country has its own contest.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we talked about that because you guys have a barbecue baked bean chip, and we don't get those. So please send them into America.
Sure. Well, we'll do a trade. Send me some cherry Coke. Fuck. okay. So any more tweets? Welcome, preferably of movies related content. But tweet us food stuff if you want to. I don't care. Fuck it. Okay. Homework. Plugs and final thoughts. Then we'll do our movie selection for next week. Next week. Heavyset, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at CFL Easy Picks. There's a game going on right now that I'm not watching. No.
The Ottawa Rough Riders, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and the Montreal Rough Riders.
They're both Rough Riders?
No, they actually finally changed the names, but we actually had two teams named the Rough Riders.
Wow. Oh, yeah, because yep. Yeah, it's the Montreal Alouettes.
Yeah, and the Ottawa Red Blacks now, because that makes sense.
is that a joke?
No.
Did the Ottawa Red Blacks?
They're called the Red Blacks, yeah.
That's terrible.
Not the Red and Blacks, Red Blacks.
The Red Blacks, yeah. Well, they're half Native, half Black.
Yeah, I think the only plugs I got, obviously, NFL Easy Picks is up. I don't know if I said it last week. We've got a new episode of Anything Goes that was put up.
Where you just fucking tear FTW a new one every fucking week.
Yeah, that's why we love that show. He's our little punching bag, but we love him. He's great. He's actually a great guy. He's I'm waiting for him to announce it, but which I don't know when the next time we're gonna get a chance to talk about it. But I know he's actually engaged now.
Wow. Hey, good for him, man.
I mean, since it's legal here in the States, I'm actually kidding. he's actually seriously engaged in I'm waiting to see if the fucker gives me an invite because I actually might drive up there. It's not that far from me. I mean, compared to my driving habits. But other plugs, the one and only Rasslecast, you can find that on Trending Topics and DSJMP. And that's pretty much it.
Trying to get DSJMP to merge with us.
Again.
I know, but no, but like full, like fucking, why do we, no, just come to the motherland.
Well, that's why Legend was like, yeah, I'm waiting for Old School to get back to me on the the about posting Second Shift over there, and I just sent him the information. I'm like, here it is.
Yeah, no, I gave it to him. I'm like, go ahead, man. We already have 18 wrestling shows. Let's put a 19th one on. And fucking what? All your soccer shit, bring it all on. Fuck, man. We're the Trending Topics Network with fucking all kind of different shit. So we merge with us, man. Don't be shy. We got plenty of room. But if they do their own thing, that's cool too. Side by side.
I think it's just whoever records it and posts it on there is having to get over to LL or even getting it over to me. I'll still post. I don't care. What the hell else am I going to say?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Will plugs final thoughts. Cybertron, SEIBertron.com.
Thank you so much. Please do. The list I just put up for Halloween was the top 5 ugliest Transformers. So please check that out and comment on the list if you want. And of course, comic books for the win. So comicbooksftw.com for all your viewing and cosplay needs.
Thank you very much.
When you said top 5 ugliest trans, I thought that was going a completely different direction. I was like, what?
top 5 ugliest trannies, Caitlyn Jenner.
Hey, she's a strong, beautiful woman.
Speaking of Phil, where can we find you on the internet?
So comic books for the win, as well as I've been working on a video game for the last year or so. It's called Stories, The Path of Destiny. So if you can find it on Facebook or Twitter, please like us and follow us.
When's it coming out?
Next year on the PS4.
What kind of game?
PS4. It's more like an action RPG-ish type of thing. So, ooh, nice. Yeah. If you like
E3?
Just PS4?
PS4 for now. And then we'll see afterwards. Probably Steam.
Steam?
Yeah. E3, we're trying PAX for sure.
Nice.
So follow us, see what the latest progress is.
Awesome. All right. Fuck. Kev.
Where's my plugs and final thoughts?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right. So the time has come for our homework for next week. Our two options are Gremlins and Rocky IV. We'll start with Phil.
Rocky IV.
Kevbo.
I'm going to go Rocky IV as well.
Will.
Rocky IV for sure.
I think it's over at this point, but heavy set.
Fuckers. I've never sat down and watched the Rocky franchise, so you're going to have me comment on a movie that I haven't seen.
You only have to watch four. There's only one movie. There's only one Rocky movie.
That's what I'm thinking. Let's do fucking Gremlins because it's the first.
No, dude. Okay. Rocky IV is amazing.
Heavy. I'm going to sum it up. Okay. Rocky loses the first one, wins the second one, loses and wins the third one, and now he's fighting a Russian.
He's right, a Russian robot super soldier.
Why aren't we doing Thunderlips?
That'll be Rocky 3. Yeah. I find Rocky 4 is the best one.
Yeah, it's the most fun.
Brother.
By the way, he fights two wrestlers. He also fights Mr. T in that one.
There you go. So I guess next week's going to be US vs. the USSR. Rocky fucking 4, baby. I'm going to have fun rewatching that. Okay, so for Phil, Will, Kev, Heavy, and Old School, and Le Bebe, and Gallifrey, thank you very much for listening.
In the grand tradition of R2-D2, the Iron Giant, and Johnny Five, comes another adorable kid in their pet robot story. Only this one's fucking intense. Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Return to an era when hard R films were sold to children.
You're next, John Connor.
I'm back. Hasta la vista, baby.
Terminated.
Full of things we probably weren't ready to see. And would have been even more disturbing if it starred the studio's first choice, O.J. Simpson. Ugh. Journey to a future so grim, the streets are literally paved with human skulls as the evil AI Skynet sends a Terminator back in time to kill John Connor, whose father was a man sent back in time to protect him. Meaning, if the robots really wanted to kill John, they shouldn't have sent anything to kill him at all, since he never would have been born. But if Skynet doesn't send back the first Terminator, he wouldn't leave behind the technology that led to Skynet existing in the first place? Yeah, the timeline's all f***ed up. Meet the T-1000, the iPhone of killer cyborgs, whose liquid metal body can take any shape, meaning those ears were a deliberate choice. And the T-800, the indestructible Nokia brick phone of killer cyborgs, a stiff, emotionless, monotone giant that Arnold Schwarzenegger was born to play.
I know now why you cry. but it's something I can never do.
Full of awesome features like shotgun twirling, yes, an endless supply of one-liners.
I'll be back. Come with me if you want to live. Hasta la vista, baby.
A casualty counter that's specific down to the decimal point for some reason. And detailed files on human anatomy.
I have detailed files on human anatomy.
Except for crying.
What's wrong with your eyes?
Or smiling. Watch these killers spend the first third of the film in a cat and mouse game that would have you guessing which one is the good guy if the trailers hadn't already given it away.
Once, he was programmed to destroy the future. Now his mission...
Get down!
...is to protect it.
A lesson we still haven't learned, apparently.
What have they done to my son?
Survival's what you taught me.
And thrill as they track down the Connor family. Sarah, the Che Guevara of soccer moms, with some big guns. And some big guns. And John, her 9-year-old son, played by Edward Furlong, who would go on to star in numerous court appearances.
Did you call?
Yes. So witness an amazing film with horrible consequences that spawned 1,000 lazy pop culture references.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Hasta la vista, buggies.
Hasta la vista, kitty!
Hasta la vista, Jessica.
Hasta la vista, baby!
Alf
turned Arnie into a spoof of himself.
I'll be back.
I'm back.
I'll be back.
I might be back.
You'll be back.
Back. She'll be back.
How? Back.
You did not gonna say that, did you?
That's what you always say.
And led the film industry to overvalue sequels, stars, and CGI that still doesn't look much better today. When all we really want is a good story about a hero who sacrifices himself to save humanity. Even if it means leaving behind the only people who ever loved him. What? No, I'm not crying. Why would I be crying? It's just a dumb, stupid action movie. Stop looking at me. Starring so much promise. Iron Miles Dyson. Budnick. Alex Mack. Hey Arnold. Guns N' Roses. Gun N' Roses. The only Sarah Connor who wasn't in Game of Thrones. Hank from Breaking Bad. No, really. And the Fonz. Hey. Terminator 2. Bad they kept making sequels. You know, I'm all for self-sacrifice and everything, but you know you left your arm back in the factory, right? That's the exact same mistake they made at the end of the first one. You had one job, bro.